Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Weekly Wind Down. I am Jackie D, the literary lesbian.
I'm Stacey, the new age old school mom.
I'm Jean, the feisty feminist.
And I'm Erin, the geeky gal pal. Woo!
Tonight I am drinking sparkling hard seltzer from Trader Joe's. It's another one of those like White Claw kind of things. It's 5% alcohol. It's raspberry. It's very good. It tastes like a White Claw, but it's TJ's.
Hey, yo.
I think I've only been in Trader Joe's like one time in my entire life.
You're missing out.
Do you know the only time I was ever in Trader Joe's was actually when I was in California, in LA. I went into
a
Trader
Joe's.
I mean, there definitely, there's one here. There were tons in Chicago. Yeah, like it was, so I was like in awe when I went in there. I was like, this is so amazing. So I wish there was one closer to me in Tampa, but it's like South Tampa and ain't nobody got time for that.
Yeah, I think it's a little fancy for us and like expensive too.
It's cheap.
I feel like Trader Joe's is way cheaper than Whole Foods.
It's way cheaper.
It is. Yeah. It is. Absolutely.
But when you look at it like compared to like Aldi, I feel like Aldi's cheaper.
There's certain, it depends on what you're shopping for. Like they sell this awesome pizza crust in there, the dough for $1.99. Like there's certain things that are way cheaper that are way better. $2 Chuck is a Trader Joe's thing.
I think if I were single or if it was just Kai and I would totally shop there.
Yeah.
But feeding a lot of people, four people, usually six with friends and whatever, it's like it's not good for bulk.
Not good for bulk.
Absolutely.
Sure. Okay,
that's like a Costco.
Yeah.
Costco.
I'm drinking, speaking of Costco, Joel Gott with two T's. It's a Cab 2017 from Napa and it's super good. I got it from Costco and Costco just kills it with their good wine.
and it's a discount club. Too.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
they're always
like
$10.
It's like that's win-win. I am very excited. Summer has returned because the Thomas Hooker Brewery in my home state of Connecticut has released their seasonal watermelon ale, and I am enjoying a crisp, refreshing glass of it right now. Thank you, Mr. Hooker.
I have a question. Is this only sold cold, or can you get it just non-cold?
I don't know. It's not like in every package store. The one that I bought it in was one in town that like really has everything, and I only see it in 6-packs in the refrigerated section. Mm. It's the Hooker Brewery is like a craft brewery
in
Connecticut.
Absolutely.
So it's not, I don't think that it's like a bulk thing that you could get everywhere.
Yeah.
But no, you definitely want it warm, Erin.
No, I don't want it warm. I was just thinking since I'm going to see Jean in like a month, maybe ish, like I would have her bring me some.
Gotcha.
But if it's cold, then you don't want it to get warm. You know what I mean? So.
Yep.
We have a couple breweries down here that do the same thing, like where they like package it. You can buy at the brewery only, or like, and they do it in like giant, like big boy cans and stuff. Like, so I have a feeling that it might have something to do too with the watermelon. Cause I feel like the watermelon flavor can even go bad in a beer. I don't know. I feel that way because of two things. One, I've had a fresh watermelon hard seltzer before from the brewery that I'm talking about. And when I first opened the can versus when I, you know, a day later went and got it, I know it's, but just the taste of the watermelon itself was way different.
They say unrefrigerated beer goes bad after like a month.
Yeah.
But like, I think if it goes from cold to warm to cold again, it's nasty. Totally ruins
like
all beer.
Skunk Central, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, I will take a look. I will definitely look around. Like I said, I've only ever seen this in one of the breweries, liquor stores in town. So I will investigate that for you, Erin, because I am telling you, this is a mighty tasty summer beer.
I love it.
What are you drinking, Erin?
So I brought my cooler tonight, guys. So I'm just letting you know. I have,
Aaron, if we were in middle school, I'd beat you up for carrying that cooler.
You know what? I carried.
I'd be your friend for that.
Thank you. And it even had a rainbow strap. What? Not a strap on.
I don't think you clarified that. No,
strap right over the shoulders.
Boulder holders.
In my bag of tricks, I have a mango White Claw, but also, because I haven't drank this on the show before, watermelon White Claw.
That is the superior
White Claw. Oh,
it is. That's literally the best. And
I have not seen that in these parts of the good old USA. Watermelon, huh?
Yeah, the variety number two, variety pack two. It's mango, lemon, which is also really good.
Yeah.
Tangerine and watermelon. And I have to say, and do you guys remember when you were like, I don't know, college, whatever, and you would put a Jolly Rancher in a wine cooler?
Yeah, college. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yes. Well, so I put a sugar-free Jolly Rancher in here. Uh-huh. And I'm telling you right now, it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It's a very good thing. I'm very happy right now.
Okay, Martha Stewart.
I'm not going to lie. I also put some vodka in here.
What a surprise.
I was just going to say, if you are going to spend your money on the White Claws, the Trulies, you really need to also pick up some nips. You need some flavored nips to just punch those things up a little bit. They're kind of lame.
Like, wap-shaw, like that.
Right, exactly.
They are a little lame. I agree.
Undercut it.
Get a couple of flavored vodka nips that match whatever it is you're drinking. And then, you know, season it up. That's what I would do. And that's what I plan to do for the summer.
There's like a hundred of something, you know, like the little nips.
It's
like 100 grapes, 100 peaches, 100 da, 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 da. Fill in the blank. Like those, it's like 100 proof flavored.
It is 49.5% alcohol, and I had one of those last week. And three beers knocked me on my ass. I'm telling you, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Hey, listeners,
little airplane shots.
Yeah,
we have those at Bevmo.
I'm sure you do. It's this right here, right? Just you heard it here first, folks. That is Gene Copeland's Kryptonite. 100 of fruit, banana, da da da. It's got to be the nip.
It's literally called 99, and I had the banana one, and whoa!
But aren't they so good? Like that was very good
they
banana.
Are, but oh my, you could get drunk off your ass on two of them.
I dare you.
Talk about a money saving endeavor during these difficult times. For $2, you could get the wickedest drunk since college.
Let's do it. What are we waiting for?
Who doesn't have their headphones in?
Jean.
Me?
Jean. You're echoing.
Aaron, you're such a narc.
We can see you, Jean.
We can see you.
She was trying to be nice.
Actually come out. Like, it's not like I'm like, you've got the headphones of a CIA agent over there.
I'm telling you that the swiftness with which she responded made me think twice about a criminal enterprise with her.
Yeah, I would never last if I was being interrogated, by the way. I will
am not the least bit surprised about that.
So when we all rob a bank, we're leaving Aaron at home.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. Because like the minute someone pulls out like a steak, like they're going to give me the old under the fingernail thing, I'm out.
Yep.
And I'll go off my location so you can't find us.
I had nothing to do with it, officer. That is not me. That was them. They roped me into it. They said if I didn't do it.
Motherfucker, man.
Right? Aaron, you cracked me up. Like it would even take you to get to the point where they're going to stick bamboos up your fingernails. All the detective would have to say is, Aaron, I'm so disappointed in you. And you'd sing like a canary. You fucking Pisces.
I know, and I would cry. I mean, the waterworks. Let's talk about it.
I'm a Pisces, and I wouldn't narc on you.
That's because you are a good Pisces. I am an evil one. I don't want to be
the
one.
I think you got that.
I don't want people to think I'm the bad person. I'm the good person, motherfucker.
So I'm the bad one?
No, I mean, that was a Zach Byrne. Unintentional.
Well, that's what makes it a Zach Byrne.
Are all your Zach Byrnes unintentional, or do you intentionally?
No, it's unintentional.
Yeah. I intentionally Zach Byrned you. No, I mean, like, what I meant was... I don't know.
you can't use the line that every Trump supporter says. What he meant was, no, you said it, and that's that.
Own it.
You meant it.
I fucking said it. Sorry, by the way, I love you.
I said what I said, but I didn't mean it. Okay, we got a few listener questions over the week, which I love getting because it means we don't have to figure out what to talk about. So the first one, you guys want to do the Supreme Court one first or the overrated, underrated books?
Yeah.
Let's get the heavy stuff out first.
Heavy stuff out first?
Yeah, we'll get that out of the way, and then Stacey can chime in with the second part.
Yeah.
Okay. Because of everything going on with the virus, people are missing the Supreme Court decision about Trump's financial records. But I don't really understand what is being argued and what we'll get from it. What do you guys think?
All right. I could start.
All right.
From what I read, it hasn't been decided. But what the House wants is the House wants him to disclose those documents so they could follow to see if there is a paper trail.
His tax returns.
Yes. What did I say?
You just said documents. I just was clarifying for people who don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. Tax returns, because there are issues of money laundering and his ties to Russian business enterprises, and that was like part of what when Michael Cohen made it to rat on him. That's what Michael Cohen suggested, that there was some dirty dealings going on. And because of that, that's what kind of set the House in motion to try to get these tax returns to see if there's any truth to it. If there isn't any truth to it, release the tax returns, they'll look at them, and then put the matter to bed once and for all.
Yeah, I think the more someone tries to hide something, the more people instinctually feel that they're guilty, even if they're not. Like, they're,
right, right.
So even if he's completely innocent, he sure as shit doesn't look innocent. And I don't for one second believe that he is. I'm just saying the whole
I don't either.
Denial is usually the first response to you're hiding something.
But is that? Thy dost protest too much, you know? Like, come on now.
But I don't know if it's even like we're halfway through May now. I don't know. I guess my feeling about it is, yes, I think it would be great if he would finally have to reveal his tax returns. Do I think it would actually sway anyone that supports him?
No.
Here's what I think. I think if there wasn't anything bad in him, he would release them now to garner support. So in my mind, there literally is something bad in those, and it doesn't really matter what it is. We all know it stinks. Mm-hmm. It's smelly. It's like a dead fish. So whatever the dead fish species does it even matter at this point? It's irrelevant. It's not going to change his hardcore supporters' mind, and it's not going to, you know, like, we're never going to be like, seriously?
It'll put him back in the box for the people who already know exactly what he is.
Right.
And
right.
It will, his supporters will just continue to find and make excuses for him. It will not influence the election.
At all. But unless there was nothing in them and he released him now as like a ploy of like, haha, I told you guys I was totally clean.
Right.
You know, and that's after probably someone doctored him. So in my mind, he's not going to release him because he knows he's screwed. Because if he wasn't screwed, he'd release him.
Sure. So I don't.
Right. It doesn't make sense because he has enough questionable shit swirling around him as it is. If there really was nothing to this, this would be his perfect aha moment. See, I told you they're out to get me, and he would actually have concrete proof. But he knows he can't do that because just like everything else, he's fucking guilty of these you know, dirty dealings. Yeah,
all right. The crimes.
All the crimes.
I do Every think crime. That our Congress should write a law mandating that every presidential candidate should have to release their tax returns. I know it's always just been done in good faith, and it's just a right. tradition that those running have followed always in history. But I do think that the American people before. So like when you go to apply for a job, like in my position, I have to go through a background check, which includes a financial background check. One, because I'm overseeing about $30 million at any given time. Which I understand. I sign a release and I say I will submit to the background check. I have to turn in tax forms and all kinds of stuff because they want to make sure you're not going to do something crazy with your money. Why aren't the American people given the same capability? If we're hiring someone to do the most right. important job in our country, we should be able yep. to look at those records and make our own decision whether or not it's important to us. You know what? If the whole reason they found out Hillary was getting paid so much for those speeches was because it was on her goddamn tax returns. Like Elizabeth right. Warren has released the last 7 years of her tax returns. And sure, does it bring up questionable things? Of course. No one gets into that type of position without having done a few questionable things here and there. I'm just going to say it. It's right. true. Like that's a high position of power. But let the people decide if it matters or not. Let them decide.
Well, like, I truly feel like a lot of those like questionable things that you and I like may think are questionable because of the amount of money may always be that amount of money for someone of that stature. So is that necessarily questionable because you accepted some large sum of money to go do a speech? Like at the end of the day, you aren't working. Like, why can't you?
Oh, I agree. I don't actually think Hillary Clinton did anything wrong. I'm right, saying it's right, easy right. to spin those kinds of things if you right. want
oh, to. For right. sure.
But
for
everybody
sure.
should be able to like, I also think it makes people, if you know for a fact you're going to be audited, essentially, you may right. rethink some things that you're going to do or accept or some ways that you'll behave. Like, mm-hmm. I think it helps keep people honest when they know someone's looking over their shoulder.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. And you know, Trump being who he is and being the essentially the boss for the last, you know, 50 years of his life, he's not accustomed to being an employee. He doesn't understand he is an employee of the American people. He thinks that all of the American people are there to serve him, just like, you know, all of the ass kissers in all of his companies.
Right.
And so he doesn't feel like any of those laws that, like you said, or regulations apply to him. And Jackie, you're overseeing a substantial amount of taxpayer money. Well, so is he. And he's overseeing a lot more than just that. And you have to jump through all these hoops and you have to prove your credibility before right. you even get in the door. Why isn't he being held to that same standard? And secondly, I think that now that we've put someone with zero integrity into the White House, we have to stop, you know, our laws, our guidelines, our whatever, have to stop assuming that people are going to do the right thing just because it's the right thing to do.
Right.
And because it's always that, done.
Right. Those days are over because, you know, he finds, and it's been the practice of his professional life the whole time. He's like a fucking rodent. He'll find the tiniest little crack, the tiniest little loophole, and he and his lawyers know how to slip through it.
Right. What's a weasel? If you grease up a ferret, remember in Hangover, he's like, you grease up the ferret and then they find the gas line. That is Trump.
Yeah, he's a greased ferret.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's really disheartening. And again, I don't think it would have swayed any of his voters, even if he had released him at the beginning. But at least it would. I don't know. I guess I just feel like transparency for government is really, really important. And maybe it's because local governments are held to such a high transparent standard where we have to disclose I mean, you could, if you wanted to, you could walk into my place of business right now and request to see every email I've ever sent on a certain subject while working for Stanislaus County, and they would have to provide it to you. Like, that's mm-hmm. how much transparency happens in local government. And I think the higher up you move, the less it goes down. But at the very least, we should understand the ethics of the people running this country, especially when they oversee things like the military. If he has Russian ties and he's in charge of the strongest military force on the planet, isn't that something that you want to know? Wouldn't it be something you'd want to know? Everyone was always accusing Obama of being in bed with the Middle East. If he was taking money from them, wouldn't you want to know that? Like, I guess there's just, I don't know. I don't know why people wouldn't want this information. I just don't know why. I mean, our local officials, when someone runs for public office in one of our cities, they have to submit financial documentation, and we have to resubmit financial documentation every single year to our county officials saying if we had lunch with anyone that's a lobbyist, if they sent us a gift, even like See's Candy at the holidays. We have to disclose that because it's technically a gift to a government official. Like, mm-hmm. all those things can be perceived as bribes. Like, the contractors that we work with to put up playground structures, like, they cannot send us anything because then it's perceived as we're favoring one or the over the other. Like, those are the kinds of restrictions your local government works with, and why don't we demand it from the most powerful man on the planet?
Right.
I just don't get
it. It makes perfect sense. Because if getting a box of candy is grounds for dismissal at your level, why wouldn't funneling lobbyist money into some illegal, business transaction, why would that be acceptable?
Yeah, and it's not even grounds for dismissal. Like, if they send one to the office, I just have to list it on this form and it gets published so people can see, oh, they received See's Candy from such and such construction company at Christmas.
Right.
And I don't know if people pay attention to it, but we have to disclose it.
But if you didn't disclose that, that box of candy, you could be under review for it.
For sure. Absolutely.
So where exactly and why, and maybe that's the $10 million question is, where did that breakdown happen where local government is so strict and then, national government is like loosey goosey.
We operate differently because people are looking over our shoulder. We work in communities where we're at the grocery store with these people. We go to the same gym as these people. Our kids go to school together. So someone's constantly looking, and I don't want to say looking over your shoulder because I don't mean it like that. I don't feel like that, but you're part of the community that you're already serving. So there's mm-hmm. even more expectation to be transparent with them. I think it loses its breakdown when a lot of these senators and House representatives and the president, they can hide behind like, well, that's, top secret. It's confidential. We can't disclose that because then you might be able to discern something else from it. Like, they hide behind a lot of those kind of regulations. And mm-hmm. a lot of it is actually, you could get with public records requests. They just don't make those things easy to find, like a way to do it. And I don't understand why it's not more accessible. I think transparency in government is super important because they do work for us. They do. And
sadly, the higher up you get in politics, it's a hierarchy. It's like the mob. The higher up you get, the more you feel like you are untouchable, the more you feel like you're insulated from having to play by the same rules as everybody else. Yeah. I mean, it goes back to every sort of power structure in every type of government, dating back to the Greeks who basically formed the first societies. You will find people when they rise to the top, do not know how to handle the power and, get on this head trip that, I've made it here. I obviously don't need to, play by the rules.
Look at like Mitch McConnell. He represents the state of Kentucky and has for 40 years.
McConnell.
Yeah, he's represented Kentucky for 40 years. How many days of those 30 or 40 years do you think he's actually spent in Kentucky? he has no oversight to him. He's not right. like a mayor or a council member or even one of your, you know, education board or board of educators. Like those, they don't have any oversight right. because the only people who are checking on him are dirty. Also, they're not answering right. to yep. people at grocery stores or schools right. or anything like that. So no one checks
right.
them.
Right. Absolutely.
And they pay people to cover up their bullshit.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
That's so scary because you think about like all the small things that are happening, but like, what about those large things that are happening that you never fucking know about because these politicians that we put in charge, and I say like a general, we like everybody, the United States of America. Oh, hello there. sorry, I just was shown some delicious tacos on the big screen. And I mean tacos for all you dirty gutters out there. But yeah, like I feel like I don't know where I was with what I was saying, but I just feel like it's interesting the idea that like you've put these people in power because of the lies that they've sold you. And now they're not only lying to you more, but they're fucking you up the ass. And without any sort of like, okay.
Glide.
Yeah, no glide, no KY.
Right. Nothing to make that insertion go a little easier.
You've been real quiet, Stace. Do you have any thoughts?
I do not. Oh, I read the question. Was like, what are they talking about? I'm gonna leave it to the professionals on the podcast because I didn't even know what the question was about.
Like everyone to know, I am not a professional. I am the furthest professional drinker.
we just play them on the podcast.
No, I feel like you and Jackie Jean are very, very knowledgeable about politics. And I told Gail last time when we got off the podcast, I was like, fuck, Jean and Jackie are so fucking smart. It's just not that you're not, Stacey. That was not a Zach Byrne.
Oh, I felt one coming out.
I didn't kind of take offense. I was going to agree.
No, but like you don't say anything during the political portions. Like I'm talking political. Now I'm unintentionally Zach Byrne. Like you're only smart for
no,
the.
Because you know what it is. Because a lot of people just don't find it interesting. They find it very convoluted, very difficult to follow. No matter what political leaning you are, you always have to wade through bullshit on both sides, and sometimes it's very exhausting to have to do that.
For sure,
because it's just like anything else. Like we were just talking about the Georgia case with the son, the father and son that killed the boy. Like the one side of the media says all this stuff, and the other side of the media says all this stuff. You have to figure out what the truth is down the middle, and it's not interesting enough to me to wade through it because it just gets fuzzy, and I just glaze over, and I'm like, I don't. It's too hard to read for me, and I don't. And I know that I'm going to get my information from you guys in the end anyway. So I'm like, tell me what's happening so I don't have to wade through it all.
You're probably only going to get one side from me. Jackie at least tries to be fair.
Okay, the second question we got was, what do you all think is the most under and overrated books, movies, and celebrities? So let's start with books.
Yeah, I was gonna say we should go through and like, do it one at a time.
Yeah, for sure.
Books.
Who wants to start?
So underrated for books, I would say anything by Jodi Picoult because everybody knows she's my favorite author. But it seems like because her one book, help me out, Jack, the one that was made into a movie, My Sister's Keeper. That kind of put her on the map, and that wasn't the movie was good, but they changed so much in the book that it wasn't the same. I know, it wasn't even her best book. I feel like that put her on the map, and everybody's like, oh, she's okay, but really the book was so much better because they completely changed the ending in the movie. But she has way better books, so I feel like she's underrated because people are like, oh, My Sister's Keeper, that was okay, you know, but really there's way better.
That's what happens when you don't have the author as your screenwriter. It was two guys.
Yeah.
What? Oh man. How did Jodi let that happen? The fuck?
I think she was money. Mad. I think she like said so. Okay, like you could happened change it, Mary like Poppins. She sold the rights. But then I think in the end she right? was like, "Oh, you really ruined it. You fucked up the whole point of the story."
Watch Saving Mr. Banks. That's like the entire plot of the movie.
Saving Terrible. Mr. Banks is one of my very favorite movies ever.
This is why we're soulmates.
I know. Then,
I'm here now. Also,
overrated books, definitely 50 Shades of Grey and Gone Girl.
And what was the next second one?
Gone Girl. Everybody loved Gone Girl, and the end completely ruined it. Totally ruined it. But everybody went crazy for that book for a while. Everybody was like, "Are you reading it?" And I'm like, "Okay, I have to read this." And I read it, and I was like, "I don't get the hype."
The writing did you watch the atrocious.
Movie? I think I did watch the movie to see, like, oh, maybe the movie will be better than the book. And it was just okay. It was just the end. I was totally, like, enthralled and into it. Like, this could be a great book. And then the way they ended it was like, okay, you just ruined the entire story. Why would you do that?
Yeah. God, that book pick, that fucking 50 Shades of Grey or movie pick, that's big. I would have never picked that, but that's right on. God.
I watched
totally overrated Grey
last night.
Oh, did you really, like, for fun? Or were you skipping through the channels on your remote dial?
No, I put it on purpose. I think Jamie Dornan is super hot. And... Oh, don't God. Get me wrong. I think the books are terrible, but terrible. What I do think, like, the writing is very bad. I can't even point out all the things that are wrong with that book, but I'm glad that it made it, like, cool and not taboo for people to read romance. Like, it's okay to read some smutty romance sometimes. Mm-hmm. It's fine. It's okay that people have certain predilections and you want to read about it. Like, that's cool. I'm glad that it made that, like, it made it okay for horny ladies to read books with.
Yeah.
So, like, remember when Phyllis was reading it on The Office? Uh-huh. They, like, dumped a bucket of cold water over her head.
Yes. I just remember, like, seeing the first movie in the theater and hearing these, like, older women, like, audibly gasp. Fun fact, I went and saw, I think, the second and the third movie in the theater with, like, Tina and Tammy and Poldina. So it was like, oh man, shout out to them. So I agree that, like, those books are just, they're trash, but I'm glad that it, like, started this little movement. Underrated books. I'm going to say everything else that Taylor Jenkins Reid has written, because I have read all of them in the last week, not just Daisy Jones and the Six and Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo, but her other more traditional, like, romance novels. So good. So not, like, chick lit, which is not my deal. Funny and cute and thoughtful and written from, like, very different styles. I think that's what I appreciate about all of those books. Like, did you, Jackie, read,
crunching?
No.
No. Okay, nope. It's not like the last time, Jackie, we would have told
crunch,
you.
Crunch, 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 crunch. did you read, shit, I forgot the name of it because I read them all in, like, a week. The one where it's like, where she, like, it goes off into the two different, yep. like, lives, maybe in another life. So it starts out on one path, and then she has to choose whether or not, like, to go home with her friend or to go hang out with her high school boyfriend. And from there, it's, like, parallel chapters of these parallel lives. And it's,
oh my God, I love that.
Interesting. Like, I love the way it's laid out. I love the way, I don't know, I just think all those styles are cool. Like, in Evelyn Hugo, I like how it goes back and forth to the flashback scenes. Daisy Jones and the Six, I like how it's written as an oral history. I think that's interesting. So, she's obviously super famous, and all of her everything is being made into a movie or a show between Amazon and Freeform. Like, she's going to write all of the things. But I think those books are underrated because the other two get so much attention. And it's just the thing I've read most recently. I'm also going to say in this group, I have a feeling this book is underrated, and I love it and have to read it once a year, Pride and Prejudice.
Oh, no, I like Pride and Prejudice a lot.
Yeah. It's underrated for Jackie. She doesn't like it. She thinks I'm stupid. It's flowery and beautiful, and I love it.
You're stupid.
I was just going to say, Jackie would never call anybody stupid unless
they call people stupid.
They really were. Like in Stacey Dempsey and Stacey Copanger. Oh, I should I say our last names? I'm so sorry. And Jean Copeland. Like, no one's stupid here, except for maybe me sometimes. So I know I'm trying to not inadvertently burn anybody tonight.
Okay. It's bound to, I could tell it's
going to happen.
It's coming out. It's percolating in there and it's going to burst forth at any moment. And nobody knows who the victim's going to be.
A real strong tea.
What's overrated?
Overrated. I would say, what do you think? So did you say Pride and Prejudice is overrated?
No.
Or were you asking me what's overrated?
I was asking you.
Oh, okay. Twilight. Sorry.
How dare you?
Oh, shit.
Wow.
Fight.
You know what? I was going to leave Harry Potter off my list, but here we go.
Wow. No way.
I'm going to leave it off my list because I've never read them.
I will not accept from anyone that Harry Potter is overrated.
I said I'm leaving it off my list because I haven't read them. I tried to read them and I couldn't do it.
Okay.
Oh.
Aaron?
Oh, me? I'm sorry. You're next on my list. Sorry. I'm like what I'm looking
at. No. Yeah. We go like, yeah.
Oh.
Thank you. I'm like, me?
I would like to talk more about movies and actors. So I'm allowing the book discussion to go first.
Okay. So book, I would say in my mind, one of the most overrated books would be,
you could see all the preparation that goes into each episode.
Yeah. No, it's a lot of prep. I just trying to
the vodka.
Figure out how to speak. Be honest, I hate to say this. God, I hate saying this so much. I'm so sorry. Oh, Twilight. I'm sorry. So one, I loved the first one. I loved the second one. The third one was okay. Breaking Dawn. I just can't. And you know why? This is why. Do you want to know why? I'm going to tell you why. Because I watched the movie first.
Oh, yeah.
It was stupid. So stupid.
I did, too. Maybe that's my issue.
The other one I want to say is The Horse Whisperer. I should switch that because I fucking love the book, but I can't stand the movie adaptation of it. So it really hurts my feelings for the book. So I'm like, am I wrong about the book then? Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, God, did I misunderstand something? So anyways, Jean, you're next.
I'm here.
You want to skip books? You could go to
Jack. You know what? I am horribly. When I was growing up, I had retention and attention issues, so I did not read a lot growing up. So I am well behind the curve. I mean, obviously, I have all of the classics. Being an English teacher, I've covered all the high school classics, but I never got into series. You know, I watched every Harry Potter movie and was just delighted by every single one of them, but I never read any of the books. Twilight, I watched one of the movies and it was, I think I was past the age for Twilight. I don't feel like I could add much to this book thing. I think you guys covered the big ones.
I'm going to say the other, if we're going underrated, I would say underrated for books are The Babysitter's Club. Come on!
The Babysitter's Club was my favorite.
Fucking right? Like, did it not show young girls at that, like, I'm 40, people, so think about when I was reading this. I was 8, 9, 10 years old, reading the fucking Babysitter Club voraciously, like, just fucking, just tearing through each one of them, and I'm just like, I cannot imagine another series that was created for young girls that shows the that shows entrepreneurship, that shows the responsibility of being a good person, a good friend, a good I don't know what the other word.
I feel like it wasn't dramatic too. I feel like Sweet Valley High and like some of those that were kind of geared at the same time, like to us. I feel like those were a little bit more boyfriend and drama and fighting with girls and whatever. And I feel like Babysitter's Club, they went through like more adventure type stuff that was less drama.
Well, and just normal family stuff, like parents getting divorced and Stacey's diabetes.
Diabetes.
Can I tell
you? Who was your favorite character?
Stacey. And Dawn.
Oh, Claudia.
I did like Claudia a lot.
I liked Dawn too.
Yeah, Dawn was good.
I did like Dawn too.
It was Mallory, right? Was the other one? There was the redhead. Yeah. I liked Mallory. I liked them all. Yeah. I thought they all were just
Chris and Can I say something really funny though about Sweet Valley High? I was super into the books and the TV show, and when I would get like an attitude, my punishment would be that I couldn't watch or read Sweet Valley High for like a duration of time.
I wish I had a copy of that tantrum.
So most overrated books for me is literally anything Nicholas Sparks writes, with the exception of The Notebook.
Overrated.
Overrated. It is the same goddamn thing, with the exception of the notebook. It is the same goddamn thing over and over and over and over and over again with different characters.
Yeah.
And I do not know why he's one of the best paid authors on the planet. Like, it's just infuriating me.
Can I say one thing? I feel that the writer that picks the same storyline over and over again and then just like inserts new character names and like jobs and things like that, they typically get like a really big fan base. I'm just saying.
Oh, I know. I mean, like Jackie Collins, I loved her. She's the one who got me into reading. When I picked up her first book when I was 19 years old, that's when everything changed for me. But by like my seventh Jackie Collins book, I'm like, wait a minute, this is the same plot as the other six. So yeah, you're right. I think readers.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say that sometimes readers will hook into an actual writer and a writer's style as much as they will with the actual stories that they tell. So, you know, I think that that's understandable that sometimes writers who kind of write the same thing over and over again sell so many books.
Yeah. The same with Danielle Steele. I feel like she did try to mix things up occasionally, which was really great. But there was obviously a pattern that she followed. And it became more and more clear the more and more books that you read of hers.
Well, Nicholas Sparks... For as much money as that man makes, and I'll be honest, I didn't read Jackie Collins or Danielle Steele. I only started reading Nicholas Sparks trying to chase the high of The Notebook, and I was continuously disappointed, so I was like, I'm not fucking giving this asshole any more money, because his books are the same thing over and over again. So I think he's super overrated. I think the Bible is super overrated. What other book has caused so many people to kill each other in the history of the world? Like, get over yourselves. Underrated?
Oh, man.
I actually agree with, I was trying to sit here and think of a new one because mine was Jodi Picoult too, because you never hear about her unless people are like avid fans of hers. And I think she is supremely talented, like supremely, supremely talented. And I mean, my favorite author is Margaret Atwood, but she's definitely not underrated. The other person I think is underrated, well, she's appreciated in her genre, but doesn't get enough recognition across like writers in general, is Anne Rice.
Gene Copeland.
Genre, I think Gene is one of the most underappreciated authors that we have. But as far as like all, not a niche genre, like Anne Rice is not recognized for her capabilities as a writer across the board.
Have you guys read is it the Snow White Chronicles? It's Anne Rice's foray into erotic fiction.
But I would. Listen, I have read some stuff.
All right, let's
move on. I'm sure lately, considering the fanfic you've been reading.
don't put me on blast about my Star Trek fan.
Let's move on to movies.
All right, I'm going to start. I think that number two movies often never get the full attention that they deserve simply because they're number two movies. Mm-hmm. Case in point, Grease 2.
Yes.
Grease 2 is one of the most underrated movies of that era, of that genre. People went so apeshit over the original Grease.
Grease 1.
Right, well, because basically every one of the teenagers in Grease 1 was like 35. So that was part of their issue. Mm-hmm. And you know, John Travolta.
Channing was like premenopausal in that movie.
she absolutely was. And you know, even though like Grease 2 was a knockoff of the same story, it was so deliciously campy. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you have like 40-year-old, the actress Lorna Luft, who played Paulette. That was the one 40-year-old they had playing a teenager. She was phenomenal. And just the whole movie was, it just took this delightfully campy detour. And I think because it wasn't John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John, it absolutely did not get the credit that it deserves, because it's a thoroughly entertaining movie.
And the songs are all bops. Girlfriend
Pre-production.
Season. Production.
Oh, yeah.
Cool Rider.
Yes. And then that the final song at the Rockin' Hula Luau.
Yeah.
We'll be together. It was so moving. It gave me the chills.
And do it for your country.
The red, white, and the blue. And let me tell you something about that movie. That movie fucked me up a little bit, because that movie came out the year that I started high school. So it like came out that summer, that spring before I started high school. And I watched it over the summer, and I really thought that that's what my high school experience was going to be.
Aww.
And it wasn't. So I was a little disappointed. Yeah, right? That your Clueless was my Grease 2, because I was just about to start high school. And then the second movie, Arthur 2. Everybody knows Arthur, right? The delightfully drunk playboy. Mm-hmm. But the movie Arthur 2, when he marries the shoplifter, that is hysterical. Mm-hmm. And nobody gives that movie credit. People are like, they made a sequel to Arthur? Yes, they did. And
in
I will watch
1988.
It. And Dudley Moore is the same hysterical drunk in this movie, and the plot is totally different. It's definitely not a knockoff or a cookie cutter of the first Arthur. It definitely moves Arthur and Linda's love story forward. And I tried to sell that movie to my friend Alicia and her boyfriend last week. Said, okay, everybody knows Arthur. Do you know Arthur too? And little tidbit, one of Kathy Bates's first recognizable movie roles. She was adorable in that.
Get out of town.
Adorbs in it.
Aww. Let's talk about the other second movie that doesn't get enough play. Sister Act 2.
Back in the Habit.
Oh my God, Lauren Hill.
Let's I saw it.
Be real.
Like, I give that movie props.
Jennifer Love Hewitt. Come on. All right. You know, hey, Miss Thing, you know, like, come on.
I don't remember Jennifer Love Hewitt being it.
Oh my God. Yeah. She's the one putting on powder. She's like, hey there, Elizabeth Arden, you know, I'm telling you right now, Whoopi Goldberg, in my mind, is one of the best actresses of our generation.
Phenomenal.
No doubt. No freaking doubt.
Let's keep moving.
Okay.
We've already been on for 50 minutes.
Oh, shit.
What else is your underrated
movies? What else do we got to do? Okay.
Oh.
Any more underrated movies?
Oh, I got one. underrated movie, Troop Beverly Hills.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That movie is great.
That is a good one.
Come on. That movie makes me so happy. And it is literally one of the best movies in my mind that shows girls that they can do whatever the fuck they want and get rewarded for it. Aside from like committing crime or something, but they're literally like, they are good human beings. They're doing what they're good at and they get rewarded for it at the end. And I think that that's really great. You know, if all you're good at is shopping, you can be a personal shopper. That's okay. Yay. But it's
to pay that. I'm going to have to give that movie another visit.
You should.
Yeah.
Sandy Long?
Yeah.
Shelly.
Shelly Long. Yeah, it's...
Shelly Long.
I love Troop Beverly Hills when I was a kid. I must have seen it 50 times. I'm going to say Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the movie.
Oh, yeah! Wow.
The TV show.
The movie.
Incorrect.
I would go with the movie because Christy Swanson was pretty hot.
It's the first time I realized I had a crush on a girl.
She's
100 times.
And I don't even like guys, but Luke Perry is so good in that movie.
Yeah.
And Pee Wee Herman, come on.
Come on. So good. You're right.
He doesn't play Pee Wee Herman. He plays a much better character in this. I will also say, I think in that same vein, Lost Boys is a super underrated movie.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Lost Boys.
That movie
Lost
is,
Boys is great.
That's
underrated.
That's a cult classic.
Yeah,
that
is a cult classic. In the Bay Area, especially, it's a cult classic.
I'll tell you right now, when he's eating the rice and it's like maggots, I literally sometimes can't even look at rice.
I've mentioned it to several people who are like, oh, I've never heard of it. So I've always considered underrated. Yeah.
Well, what are they, like 25, those people?
Yeah.
I weren't even born when the damn movie
what about
was
overrated?
Out.
Overrated is the slapstick, stupid ass comedies that are like Elf, Step Brothers, Weatherman. I can't do it.
And my wife loves them. She loves them.
They're not funny. Like, I need like funny to be like Juno, clever, quick witted.
You want
like where I'm like good one liners.
Okay.
Slapstick doesn't do it for me.
Any of those frat pack comedies, old school Anchorman, love them. They're so funny. Ugh, love them. Anything like Adam McKay and Will Ferrell.
Same.
Judd Apatow, I'm here for. I'm in.
You're same.
I had a couple underrated, though, that I wanted to mention.
Okay.
That I think just don't get... They just weren't as wide releases, whatever. Late Night.
Oh, great
that
movie.
That was on Amazon. Yeah.
Oh, somebody has to give me their
Emma
code
Thompson.
Because I totally
you.
Have an Emma... I got an Emma Thompson
you have
crush
to
big
watch
time.
It because Emma Thompson, Mindy Kaling, it's great. I loved it.
And she's in a fucking suit in that.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Hot.
Power suit.
Hot.
So the other one, Obvious Child.
Never heard of
so
that.
So good.
Is that with what's her
Jenny
face?
Slate.
Jenny Slate, yeah.
Yeah, and she gets pregnant and has an abortion, which doesn't sound like a super fun movie, but it is so smart and so clever and so cute, and I absolutely love it. The other one that I think is kind of a cult thing, but I just love it, and I think it's a phenomenal, phenomenal film, and it's in my top 10. Bringing Up Baby.
I'm going to have to disagree.
Oh my God.
Is that the black and white one?
Yeah, Uncultured Swine. It's Katherine Hepburn.
Oh, and Cary Grant.
Yeah, Cary Grant.
Oh,
and
I love the old movies.
It was popular when it came out. It became kind of a cult classic. Really, anything old now is, I think, underrated. Don't watch classic movies enough. Anything with Katherine Hepburn. Literally anything. I've seen them all. All of them. Desk Set is great. Yeah, just
you know what's underrated? Piggy Sue Got Married.
Oh my god, I love that movie.
Super underrated.
Muriel's Wedding.
Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
Also underrated.
The dance at the end of Girls Just Want to Have Fun gives me so much life.
Goodbye Me Love, Lover Boy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
On. Kirstie Alley and what's his nuts from
Kate Jackson.
Okay,
I watched that
talk
movie
about
fucking Kate Jackson.
Underrated Kirstie Alley movies.
Oh,
Summer School.
Oh,
I love Summer with Mark Harmon. Yes, what a great cheesy movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Life of the Party. Melissa McCarthy, current. because Gail keeps texting me, you keep screaming about ham. There's a line in there where she's like, you keep screaming about ham.
Life of the Party's awesome.
I fucking love that movie. It's one of my very favorites. Anyways.
What's overrated?
Overrated.
Okay.
Lord of the Rings.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know what? Right
also,
there.
This is going to piss some people off.
But
Wall-E.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, no, Wall-E's hella good.
Get the fuck out of here.
It's our future.
You know what? I'll tell you right now, I was upset about Lord of the Rings, but I am fucking crucified.
Wall-E.
Right,
Wall-E's super good.
And you know what I think is underrated in that same vein? Inside
overrated
Out.
Overrated or underrated?
I think Wall-E is overrated. I think Inside Out is underrated.
Oh, I think everybody
is that with
loves
Martin
Inside
Martin Short? Martin
no, Inside Out, like the Pixar.
Oh, okay. Amy Poehler is the main voice.
So funny and so clever and so deep, and
it's super good.
It's
oh
so
my God.
Good.
The part in the pit with Bing Bong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Don't get me started.
Oh, yeah. Take me to the moon.
Mm. I'm gonna say underrated for me.
We're on overrated.
Is I'm sorry. Overrated. My bad. Overrated is probably going to be, and I hate to say this because whatever, you guys can hate me if you want, but The Godfather. I'm sorry.
I agree. Sorry. I don't get it.
I can't. Yeah. I can't do it. And I love Goodfellas. Like,
and you know
I
why?
Because
I don't give a shit about any of those characters.
Not a fucking one.
Mm-hmm.
Not a one. Mm-hmm. You, why are you talking like this? You know what? Get out of here with your fucking talk like that. I cannot handle that. I don't know why. I don't know why. But I love, like, mobster shit. Like, I love The Sopranos. I love, you know, like, even, like, mobster movies now. Like, The Kitchen with Melissa McCarthy and things like that. Like, I like Melissa McCarthy. But I'm just saying, like, I like that stuff. So I don't understand why I couldn't get in it. But I just couldn't.
Okay. I have one more. Overrated. Lady Bird.
Yeah,
I thought it was cute and I liked it a whole bunch.
Yep, gotta disagree.
I did not think it was like award worthy.
Oh, I totally did.
I liked it.
I don't know.
Don't
if
get
I,
me wrong.
I don't know if I've seen a good girl approach to being popular depicted in such a way before.
Right,
like she wanted like, so badly to be popular, but then she went this bad route that took her through sex with a guy that would never like her and things like that. That to me was like very relatable. And maybe because I kind of went through the same thing in like my life, my high school, mm-hmm. I thought it was really interesting to see someone who wanted so badly to be someone different, decide that who they used to be was just as fucking good or better than who they wanted to be.
Okay. Then while I'm throwing it in here, Frozen 2 is underrated because I think
everybody loved it more than Frozen 1.
I don't know. I feel like some people thought that they just didn't like it. Here's the thing. It's because Into the Unknown should not have been the like song they used to advertise it all. It should have been Show Yourself because Show Yourself is so good because she's been searching for this thing the whole time that was always right in here. It was always inside herself and I loved it and I thought it was miraculous.
I agree with everything.
That's the plot of The Wizard of Oz.
I don't think it's underrated. I think everybody like totally loves it.
I think adults, more adults should see it, even if they don't have kids, because I think it has an important message.
I think a lot of that, what you're saying is that it's not necessarily that people were maybe disappointed by it, but so much they loved Frozen 1 so much that what they expected in Frozen 2 just didn't live up to this expectation they had set. But they still really enjoyed it. And I do not agree with you. I think Into the Unknown is like maybe the best
it's
song.
It's good, but Show Yourself is amazing. Can I add in, I wasn't here in the beginning. Can I throw in one more thing for people to say? Because I really want to hear it because I have a good one. Worst movie adaptation of a book.
The Bell Jar. It's so horrible. You never even saw it. It was in the 1970s. Early 70s, and it was like some fucking the dude that adapted it to the screen did it, and dude had gotten LSD. I love The Bell Jar and Sylvia Plath. Next,
The Horse Whisperer, because they fuck in the book and they have a beautiful love affair and they were shorted that in the movie. And I'm telling you right now, The Horse Whisperer is my very favorite, like, love story fiction book ever. And I mean, I'm putting that above Lesfic. Like, I love it so much. And there is literally fucking none of that.
But nobody wants to look at old people have sex in movies.
It's not even about that. It doesn't.
Incorrect. Have you seen Something's Gotta Give, or It's Complicated?
Oh, Something's Gotta Give. I love it.
But just the fade to black or something of that aspect would have been great, because in the book, one of the things that heals both of them is their love for their, each like, other connection. And their connection. And without that, it makes it seem very much like, I fell in love with you because my husband's a dick. No, I fell in love with you because we found this connection over my daughter, over these horses, over the idea that we're very damaged. And the only thing that can help us is exercising that damage till it's no longer an issue. And I just feel like that's very important. And maybe I think that way because
ding dong.
Yeah, hey, I just think it's interesting. I'm sorry, I'm gonna stop talking.
I think the worst is My Sister's Keeper, because they killed the wrong sister in the movie.
That's fucked up.
I know, it was the whole point of the story.
Jackie,
I can't think of one off the top of my head, because I'm usually disappointed in film adaptations. Uh-huh. With the exception of The Hunger Games, I thought was better. Mm-hmm. And I thought The Notebook was just as good as the book. And I did think...
The Handmaid's Tale?
Huh? Well, Handmaid's Tale? Show. I'm not caught up on The Handmaid's Tale TV show. I will say, after reading the sequel to The Handmaid's Tale, I have very high expectations for how the show will turn out. And I hope they follow Margaret Atwood's lead, because I was very scared to read the sequel, The Handmaid's Tale, because the original, or the first one, I have never read a book more consistently throughout my life than The Handmaid's Tale. I think it speaks to me in different parts of my life for different reasons. So I was very scared to read the sequel, because I thought I might be disappointed, and I don't know why I ever thought that with Margaret Atwood, because she never disappoints. And if they don't follow the blueprint she laid out, I don't think there's any other way to end the story. So I'm interested to see.
Season three ends with pretty intense. Mm-hmm. It's pretty intense at the end of season three.
Because I think it brings the sequel. Have any of you guys read the sequel yet?
I haven't read it.
I haven't.
It gives redemption to characters who I think have earned it. Even though you don't think so going in, but by the end, you're like, fucking right, man. And it gives closure to issues that you feel like people who had it coming got what they deserved. And it has a little bit of a happy ending sprinkled in.
Yes.
It's just, it's perfect in the only way Margaret Atwood could have made it perfect. So I hope they do it that way.
Like, perfect in the face of shit. Like, because how can you make
it's as perfect as The Handmaid's Tale sequel can be,
right?
So it's the underlying essence ends up being good does conquer evil, hope prevails, and the people who are determined to make a difference in this world will. That is the underlying concept of it, and that's what ends up prevailing in it. And I was happy to see that shine through with such a dismal kind of ending to The Handmaid's Tale.
Right.
So if Margaret Atwood is a prophet, let's fucking hope she's right about this one.
I say that she's a prophet, and I'll tell you that they are working on season four. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the things that you mentioned check out in the season three, but you could tell in season three it's not over. So I thought that the first few episodes of season three were kind of slow. And a little anticlimactic compared to how the last season ended. But boy, halfway through, man, it picks up and it fucking takes off. And you'll be satisfied with the ending.
I think the fact that they let Margaret Atwood consult on this project is imperative.
Right.
Because it's her vision. So
right, absolutely. Yep.
So I'm usually disappointed in movie adaptations. I wasn't with... The Twilight series. I actually thought the last one turned out better than the book. I don't care what you guys think. You like Lord of the Rings.
Same. Harry Potter. You know what? I love Harry Potter. Cool. Right there, motherfucker. I love you.
Okay, I have my worst adaptation. The Lovely Bones.
Oh, yeah. That's
that book is so good. The and the so movie better. Is not. Yeah.
Weird. I liked it. I thought they did good. They totally nailed it with the creepy vibe.
I don't think so. I don't think it was as bad because to keep it, I think, like a PG-13 rating, so much of what she goes through was cut out and all of that, like, from her perspective stuff. And I didn't think the movie was good. I like Saoirse Ronan. I think it had, like, the potential to be a good movie, and it just was not nearly as good as the book.
Interesting.
I thought the movie was okay. The book was much, much better.
So much better. Yeah.
Overrated, underrated celebrities.
Okay, overrated is reality Kardashians that didn't do anything to get famous.
Yes. Oh, great.
Underrated is great. Natasha Lyonne, who is Nikki Nichols in Orange is the New Black. She's also in American Pie. Love her. She should be in everything. Ellen Page.
Yeah.
Because Ellen Page is really funny.
Did you watch Russian Doll?
She's more comedy. No.
Oh, watch Russian Doll.
Is she good in that?
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's really good.
She is
okay.
Perfection. Like, if you could, she deserved the awards. And she unfortunately didn't get it, but she deserved it. She was just phenomenal.
Okay. Underrated. Aaron's going to hate me. Tom Cruise, I don't get it. I think he's weird. I don't get it. I don't like his movies. I don't like him.
Yeah, he's overrated.
Yeah, sorry, he's overrated.
I totally agree. I think he's underrated. Oh, please.
You're wrong.
What?
And I think underrated, this is going to sound stupid because she wins all of the awards, but Allison Janney. Like, you don't hear a lot of people say, like, my favorite actress is Allison Janney, and I really think she's one of my favorite actresses. So I don't think she gets the, like, accolades she deserves, but she doesn't get the, like, popularity recognition that she deserves, and she's phenomenal.
I'm going to actually, I have one that I don't think she's...
Yeah, I will also agree with you on that.
I don't think she's underrated. I think she's underutilized, and it's Reese Witherspoon. I don't think she gets near the dramatic roles that she should get, and I think she's capable of much more, and I'm really glad that she's producing her own films now that she's older and nobody wants an older actress. I think they keep plugging her into, like, these dumb blonde roles, or always have, and I think she's way more talented than that. Like, Wild, she did such a fantastic job.
Good. Oh my God, so one of my favorite movies.
So I don't want to say underrated, but underutilized.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with Tom Cruise. What the fuck, man? Just go away.
I know.
The '80s were good. Like, he's like a douchebag once he starts like into the '90s. But the movies from the '80s, Top Gun and stuff, he was a good actor then when he was like sane. And then he did the whole jump on the couch thing and the whole like religious thing, and you're like, okay, you're kind of crazy. But back in the day, he was good.
I agree. He was more palatable in the 80s. I do not believe he's ever been a good actor.
Excuse me, if you do not believe him as the man that goes and saves the unicorn horn in Legend, I don't know what to say right now. He is one of
He's like Nicolas Cage. Like, Nicolas Cage is great at playing Nicolas Cage. I think Tom Cruise is fine at playing Tom Cruise.
Here's the other one I think is exactly like this, and I get pushback for it all the time.
Don't say Mel Gibson.
And I think he plays the same person over and over and over again, and the sight of him on camera just grates my nerves for whatever reason. Is, what's his name, Donnie Wahlberg? Mark Wahlberg? The one who's like Daddy's Home or whatever.
No, yeah. Mark Wahlberg!
Another one that he's not overrated, but the very presence of him grates my nerves, is Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson, that poor man lost his wife. And,
I'm not saying, I don't know why.
I have a soft spot for Liam
Neeson. He just irritates the shit, with the exception of Schindler's List.
And Love Actually.
Oh, no.
Jackie doesn't like Love Actually.
I do like Love Actually.
Oh, you do? Okay.
But him and Wahlberg, man, Wahlberg plays the same fucking dude in every goddamn movie.
And that's how I feel about him anyway.
Mark Wahlberg is a muscle head. He's he got his acting role because of his fucking ripped rock hard body. But he can't act for shit.
Even when he's on interviews and stuff.
Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch.
That's exactly it. Funny, the cool vibrations.
Even when he's in interviews, he's the exact same dude as in the movies. It's so annoying.
That's Nicolas Cage.
The first time I think that he actually played a role really different from him is in Date Night with Tina Fey and Steve Carell when he was like the guy. Because he was so much like himself that he was different.
He's always like himself. That's all he plays. He just plays himself. It's super. And I agree with you at Nicolas Cage, with the exception of Family Man.
Instant Family.
Yeah, I did like the movie Instant Family. I like his movies. I don't like him. I think he's boring and one-dimensional. I'm sure he's a very nice person. Like, whatever.
I totally agree with what you just said about Family Man. I fucking love that movie, but I hate Nicolas Cage.
He's
hard on the eyes, man.
Who?
Nicolas Cage? He's hard on the eyes, and the only reason he's in show business is because he's a Coppola.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They changed their last name, and they think that you're gonna believe they're getting by on their talent.
I do like Kevin Bacon. Air.
I hate Kevin Bacon.
I like National Treasure.
National Treasure and Con Air, I think, are very palatable movies.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. I like some of his movies, but I just don't like him. And Kevin Bacon is an asshole in every role he plays.
Yeah.
He's an asshole in real life.
You know who's so fucking over?
His wife is delightful, though.
Yes, she is.
Who's his wife?
Kira Sedgwick.
The male actor that is so overrated and grates on my fucking nerves because he makes the same, like, he emotes, every one of his facial expressions is the same. He's the same fucking character in every fucking movie. The only difference is he has a different hairdo in every fucking movie. Brad Pitt is overrated. I see where you're coming from.
Late 80s guy.
He's just not a very talented actor. Yeah, right.
He doesn't have a lot of acting tools in his toolbox.
Brad Pitt does every role. Agree to disagree.
It doesn't matter that he's done them. Did he do them all amazingly well?
I loved Legend of the Fall.
Thelma and Louise, all of them. He did them all okay.
He had a different hairdo in every movie.
His acting is not very nuanced.
Oh my God.
No, it's not.
It's very like acting.
Agree to disagree.
Have you guys seen Seven?
I'm not saying I dislike Brad Pitt. I'm just saying he does okay with the tools that he has, but he's not like breaking new ground.
Okay.
I'm going to break new ground.
Could he have been in The Revenant? No, he couldn't have done that. Could he have been in like any of these amazing like acting roles? I don't think so. But is he fine in the movies he's in? Sure.
Agree to disagree.
He's hot.
All right. All right. And I have to say, as an actress, I love Ocean's 11, but not because of him. Yeah. Ocean's 11
George
is
Clooney.
I fucked George Clooney is that I, whole movie.
George Clooney is the number one.
Mm-hmm. Amazing, in that movie.
But what about the parts when he's talking to Brad Pitt, and Brad Pitt literally does nothing, but it's so perfect. I know it's George Clooney's acting ability, but they have
camaraderie, and
they have great chemistry together. They have great on-screen chemistry. I agree with Jackie. I'm a professional.
I agree
with
Jackie.
I think he's phenomenal.
I don't know about that, Stacey.
since I mentioned her before, Doris Day is one of the most underrated critically. Everybody, every fan loves her because there's just so many things to love about her. But critically, she got passed over for so many awards. In 1959, she was the number one box office draw for the movie Pillow Talk, which was the number one movie. And she was nominated for an Oscar for leading actress in a comedy, and she did not win. She was, you know, everybody looked at her as the sweet little, you know, peaches and cream girl next door, but she had an amazing range, and people never like the critics never gave her the acclaim, the acknowledgement that she deserved as an actress.
Agreed. Everybody should go watch Pillow Talk. That's one of my favorite movies.
Everybody should watch Pillow Talk.
So what's everyone obsessed with this week? Aaron, I'm limiting your time.
Bullshit.
I don't really have an obsession. I'm just kind of sad about, we're getting a lot of information from the school district about starting school next year. And it sounds like it's either all or nothing. They put out like that it could be 50-50 where the kids go back 3 days a week, where it's like half the kids go back Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and half of them go back Tuesday, Thursday, so that it's less kids on campus, blah, blah, blah. Now they're saying it's all or nothing. We're either all going to start the school year together or it's distance learning here. And I'm like really disappointed because I really thought like stuff was going to start to get back to normal after summer, especially for the kids. So I'm kind of bummed about that.
I think that's a normal reaction.
Yeah.
I was on this meeting this morning and our HR director said something because we're all going back to work on Monday. And she said, if you're not feeling anxious about this, like, I think something's wrong. Like, we should all be feeling anxious about the changes and how to handle them and, you know, what's coming next. You don't often hear that from an HR manager. So I think she's right. Like, the unknown is so hard, and you want to give your kids a sense of, like, normalcy and, you know, especially high school. And I don't know. I get it. It sucks. It super sucks not knowing.
Yeah, Lex said the best thing today. She said, being a sophomore right now is the best place to be because heading into freshman year, having it being all skewed would be shitty. This is your high school experience and like the first, you know, being a senior would be shitty, you know? And so she's like, being a sophomore right now, ending your sophomore year, going into your junior year, being kind of skeptical, it's kind of the perfect place to be. So she has a good outlook on it, but... Mm-hmm. I'm really bummed because if this ends up being like distance learning for even like, hopefully it's just for a few months of next year, not the whole year. They're talking about it being the whole freaking year.
Oh, that would be
crazy.
Awful.
That means my kids, they're not going to get the real, curriculum. Like I get that the teachers are passing stuff down. It's not the same. Reading it off of a computer and not discussing with other kids thoughts and ideas and what they thought about this, just the whole thing I think is really shitty and it's not the same thing.
That's totally been my life, Stacey, and I totally agree because kids, high school kids, and even, you know, the lower levels of college, you know, freshmen and sophomores in college, absolutely 100%, I would say half of the whole experience is interacting with each other, interacting with the teachers, and being validated right then and there with your ideas.
More than half of the experience because you get to hear ideas and thoughts from all walks of life in a classroom. Right. You get it from the teacher and then you get it from all the kids around you. And then all the other social aspects, dealing with bullies, mean girls, nice people that go out of their way, the poor kids, the rich kids, all these different things, the social aspect of high school is so huge that I'm just like, holy shit, if this goes on through next year, that sucks.
I really hope that doesn't happen.
Me too.
Really.
Sorry. That was supposed to be fast. Go ahead.
There's no good answers to this. Like, it sucks. There's no good answers.
I have lots of things I'm obsessed with, but they're all negative. So I'm just going to skip all those things, including that my poor little puppy is going to have surgery on her other knee. And I'm really bummed out about it. I know. I don't know when I asked. They just looked at it for a second because obviously the vet is kind of not all the way open right now. But she was limping and on the knee she had surgery on. And he said that one was totally fine, but her other one, which was the one we were going to like wait and see, hopefully it wouldn't get any worse, is getting worse. So she's been super clingy, super whiny. She's been limping. Aww. Sad. So, I know, I'm bummed out for her. But also at the same time, I'm like, I know it's not ready yet, but like, I'm not going to work. So like, could we do it now?
Yeah, this is a good time for it.
But anyways, so I'm going to say that I'm obsessed with going back and watching New Girl, because I watched New Girl like, when it aired, underrated show for sure. I watched it all when it was like new, and I haven't gone back and done like a rewatch of it. And I'm doing that now, and I forgot. I love a good will they, won't they relationship, and the like slow burn will they, won't they with Nick and Jess is so phenomenal because they are both so awkward and bad at love, and it's so funny to watch, and it's so good, and he's so lovable, and that show is so much funnier than it gets credit for.
I agree.
And like the bromance between like Schmidt and Nick is so good, and like the whole thing is, it's such a good show. 10 out of 10 recommend.
Agree.
I should watch that, because when you said bad and awkward at love, that really struck a chord
with right me. That's why I relate to it so well.
It's very good. No. It's very underrated.
So
I'm, you know, I mean, other than the obvious stuff during quarantine, day drinking, Andrew Cuomo, other than that, the Ghost Hunters, the show is back and they have new episodes. They have, you know, they I think they took a little break for a while. I'm totally into paranormal and ghost hunting stuff. But most of the other shows are really cheesy and they really look contrived and they really look like setups. But I've always loved Ghost Hunters and I'm very glad that it's back. And I had like 4 episodes of it all DVR'd. And like this week, I've just been binging them all and just loving the creepiness of it. But other than that, you know, what else can you do during the pandemic?
Erin?
I'll tell you right now, I am obsessed with Hollywood on Netflix.
Oh,
it
yeah.
It is so good. I am really, really, really loving it.
What is it, a movie or a series?
It's a series, and it's like 1940s Hollywood, and what happened sort of underneath well, it all. Out. Yeah, it's good. Like, I just really enjoy it. And I love Ryan Murphy just because he's campy and cool. And he always, like, you know, errs on the side of gay, which I also love. And I'm really enjoying it. But I'm also think that I'm like, that's my underrated. I don't have an overrated. My other underrated that's going to take the place is Bob's Burgers.
We're not doing that anymore, so it's okay.
Oh, my bad.
This is drinking. Obsessions, Erin.
He was not it's listening obsessions. To our answers at all. Nope.
I suck. I'm the worst. Anyway, I'm going to say
her answers.
Yeah, I was. I was like, what am I going to say? And then, yeah, whatever. So I'm also obsessed with blah, 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 Bob's Burgers again. Like, I've been rewatching from the very beginning. That show is so amazing. It's so well written, so well acted, so well animated. It's just amazing. I love Bob's Burgers. If you haven't watched it, you need to. It is one of the best adult / youth cartoons, I think, ever. That's ever.
You guys you're giving me too much to watch.
Sorry. Oh, Bob's Burgers, you're going to love. They're in New Jersey.
We still only watch Toy Story in this house, although I have gotten Lincoln on to Big Hero 6 and Moana, so that's occasionally we'll get to sprinkle in something besides Toy Story.
That's exciting.
Yeah. The other thing I'm obsessed with is my wife started finding all this stuff on Pinterest and stuff that I didn't want to pay for. So I've been making them for her. So I built a shelf and then we built some arrows and now I'm building some outdoor patio furniture and I'm putting another shelf up in my office before this weekend hits. So that's been a good like thing to do at night. That's not just gets me outside because I get to do it in the garage and stuff, and it's not just watching TV, and because I can only watch so much Toy Story.
I'm very impressed with your woodworking. Like, it looks really cute and very
that arrow thing was so nice. Yeah.
Right.
Really nice.
I want to see your furniture. What?
Yeah, I'm building chairs.
Stepping it up.
Super cool. So I'm excited about that. And then I go back to work on Monday, which it sucks. I tend to work longer hours when I'm at home. But I don't really mind because we have this little routine where, like, I get to get Lincoln dressed every day. And, like, I'm much more involved in, like, his getting ready process. And then I'm home when he gets home. So I get to spend more time with him. And now I'm going back to being gone from, like, 6:30 in the morning till 7 at night. So I'm going to miss a bunch of time with him, which really bums me out because he's turning 2 next month and he learns, like, something new literally every single day. So, and it's harder on Lex because she has to do all of the things because I'm not here, and that's not fair. And I don't like feeling like I'm not contributing, and that's how I feel when I have to go to work. So I know it's not quite as bad because she's still working from home, so she doesn't have to like drive to work and stuff. So I don't know though. You just feel like you're not doing your part, which is hard.
Yeah, but earning an income to for you guys, you know, is doing your part too, you know?
Yeah, but I miss stuff with Lincoln.
Yeah, I mean, that's finally, the suckiest part of it all.
Because I was doing this commute before, he was, like, more attached to Lex than he was to me, and since I've been home, he, like, comes to me for more stuff now, and, like, and I think it's just going to go back to him being more attached to Lex, so it just bums me out a little bit. But, you're right, you gotta go to work. I mean, there's no way around it, so.
Yep. All right.
Can I say one more thing? Can I give a PSA?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. May is National Water Safety Month. Tomorrow, Friday, May 15th, is National Water Safety Day. So just because you're at home doesn't mean you can't be water safe. So just make sure that, you know, you have a water watcher when you have kids around water, because it doesn't take much for them to be unsafe. An empty, you know, an open toilet, a bucket of water, really. If you have a kiddie pool, make sure you're draining it in between uses. And when things resume and go back to normal, it's super, super important for kids and adults that don't have water competency skills to get in swim lessons. So just remember to be safe. Drowning is 100% preventable.
Especially during this summer where public pools may not be opening again and more people are going to buy little like water toys for their backyards. It's crazy important to empty them between when you're not using them.
And please, for the love of God, can everyone stop using water wings? They're so unsafe. Don't buy them. They shouldn't be sold anymore. Water wings are like the most dangerous thing you can give your kid in a pool setting. They give a false sense of security. They don't keep them really above water. They can slip off their arms really easily. They restrict their arm motion. If any, they should be wearing a Coast Guard approved flotation device. And water wings are not an approved flotation device. So stop using them. They're super dangerous.
I just want to say for kids and adults. I mean,
for
come
everyone,
on.
No one uses water. If you're an adult using water wings,
well,
that's
and
a bigger.
Even a Coast Guard approved water device doesn't replace parental eyes on children all the time.
For sure. No, right. I mean, layers of protection.
Layers. Yeah. Because kids are. People don't realize how quiet drowning is. You expect that you're going to hear like the splashing and yelling and stuff. You will hear nothing, which is the opposite of what normally alerts you to danger. So.
It's silent. Yeah. It's often vertical, hands raised straight above the head. You don't have to be a, you know, even proficient swimmers can get in distress. So, yeah, it's my soapbox.
Thank you for that.
That's it for us this week, guys. If you have more questions, send them our way.
Yeah, we love them. Thank you.
Yes, thank you for listening and for questioning all the time, all the things.
Right.
Just act like I didn't talk.
I am Jackie D, the literary lesbian.
Oh, we're doing a sign off.
Are we doing that? Yeah. We haven't done that in a long time.
Oh my God, sign off. Go.
Bye.
I'm Stacey, the new age old school mom. No. Bye.
I'm Stacey, the political princess. Bye.
I'm Big Jean, the feisty feminist. Bye.